Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning we worship you. We love you. And we want to just bow our hearts before you at this time and give glory and praise and honor due unto you, O God. Thank you, Father, for every soul that's here this morning. And I pray, Father, that our time together will be edifying, that it will touch every heart, that our lives will be changed this morning as we look to you and as we learn to walk with you. Thank you, Father, for who you are and what you are and all your great love that you have poured out upon our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We do greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. We're thankful for the privilege to be here and thankful for everyone that's here this morning, for all the visitors. We're blessed, always blessed to, blessing to have visitors with us. And I trust that we can continue to worship the Lord. I was blessed with the service this far. What Brother Joe shared and the lesson that we had this morning, it all fit together with what I have to share this morning. It seemed like the Spirit was moving everything in the same direction. A couple months ago, I preached a message on God's love to us. The love of God to us. And this morning, I would like to look at the other part of it, our love to God. And turn with me to Mark chapter 12 for, I guess, what you would call the text. The subject I titled simply, Loving God. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. Yesterday, as I was meditating on this verse, I've been trying to grasp the reality and the depth in that verse of loving God with all our soul, all our heart, our strength, and all our mind. Everything that is in us, loving God. Can you grasp that? I guess this morning I want to ask the question, how do you love God? How do you love God? How do you do it? How do you know you're loving God? Somebody have an answer this morning? How do you love God?
Love to be in His Word.
Pardon?
I love to be in His Word.
You love His Word. Amen. I'm going to write some things down here. Love His Word. What's some more ways that we love God?
Love
the people of God.
All people.
All people. Amen. Love all people, especially the people of God. Some more.
By having His commandments and keeping them.
By loving the commandments. Is that what you said?
By
having the commandments and keeping them. Okay, I like that. I like to put the thought in there of loving to keep the commandments. Also, I like, yeah, keeping the keeping His commandments. Any more? How do you love God?
By
Back there's one. What's he say?
Worship him.
Worship him. Amen. Worship him. Worship him. That's a good one. Is there another one back there? Jameson? You have one?
Praise him.
Praise him. Amen. Amen. That's good. Have some more. Probably have the most of them that I had down. If anyone has any more or not. Bob? Giving our bodies, complete abandon of ourselves to God. Giving our bodies a living sacrifice. Okay. I'm sure we could probably come up with some more. But I believe that, you know, that love, it's something. I like the last verse in our Sunday school lesson. How did that go? That someone want to read that? The last verse in our Sunday school lesson. Who has that there?
And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I
am. Amen. So it's the love that God loved Jesus can be in us, so that we can love God. That we love God, we love His people, we love His Word. We have a relationship with God. Like somebody talked about here this morning. We know God. He's our... We walk with Him. We live with Him. We talk with Him. He's the biggest part of our life. When we have that, like Bob said, we completely surrender our being to Him. And we everything that we are is... We have is His. And our life is totally surrendered, and we love Him, and we serve Him, we worship Him, we praise Him, we bless Him, we love His people, we love all people, we love His Word, and we want to be like Him. He is our hero. He is the one that we have our affection sat on. Above all else, there's nothing in this world that would be more precious to us than Jesus Christ Himself, and serving God and giving ourselves to Him. And you know, we talk about worshiping God. You know, how do we worship God? Does anyone want to mention about worshiping God? What is worshiping God? Anyone have a thought on that? James?
I always think of John Newton's definition of worship. It actually means worship. So in other words, you're making God worth something by whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I believe it, like we say, we come together this morning to worship God. I believe it's we need to give Him the glory. We need to tell Him that we love Him, and we need to bless Him, and we need to give Him the glory that is due into His name. You know, I think I think about some of the songs we sing. You know, are we really worshiping God sometimes? When we sing here on Sunday morning, you know, some of the songs in the book, say like, well, it's not an easy road or something like that. Is that worshiping God? That's not really what I would call worship. But I believe a song like Brother Joe shared this morning was a worship song. And I believe we have worship songs. I believe we do worship God in our singing. But I think it's something we should be mindful of when we come together, that we are expressing our heart to God. We're not just here to sing for us to hear it, or for the person next door beside us to hear it. But we're here to sing to God. We're here to sing glory and praise and honor to God. We're here to lift up His name. We're here to worship God from our heart. And I know that we can't just, it's not something we do with our hands. It's not something something mechanical that we do. It's something that has to come out of our heart. It has to be in our heart, and we have to let it come out of our heart. Our love for God and our worship of God, our praise to God. It's something that must be in our heart, and it must come forth to bring glory to God. Now I think of, John wrote to the church of Ephesus about losing their first love. In chapter 2 of Revelations, he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he said, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." He says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear with them that were evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and thou hast found them liars." Oh, this is the kind of person that's very exact. They were very correct in everything that they did. And they didn't tolerate sin. They didn't tolerate ungodliness. They kept the church clean, and they made sure that everything was done right. But it says, "Thou hast borne and hast patience in thy name, for thy sake hast labored." It says, "Nevertheless, I have some things against thee, because thou hast lost thy first love." He tells them that they must repent and do the first things over and do it over, because they have lost the first love. They probably had a big church with a lot of people that they all looked right and they all did the right things, and they were all in outward unity possibly. But they did not have love. They did lost their first love. And I believe that that's the danger that we can, for the church today. Oh, that message for the church today. And that's the reason we don't have what Brother Job was talking about. It's because we don't have that love for Jesus. It's not there. And we get separated and we get farther apart and we lose that unity. We lose that oneness. We lose that togetherness, that unity in Christ. It's only when we have that love is hot for God, when we are in fire for Him. We are not lukewarm, and we are not just casually floating along and doing just what we have to do to get by. That's not what God wants. He says He'll spew that out of His mouth. But God wants us to have a love for Him that is fervent, a love that is hot, a love that is intense after Him. That we have that love to give to Him and to His people. That we are here as vessels in His service to do the work that He has called us to do. And that we're doing it with a fervency and with a joy and with a power in our lives. We're not just floating along in life just trying to get by with what we have, but we have a great grace that is available to us as His Christians. That we have a power in our life, and that we have the love of God in our life. You know, there's nothing more powerful in the Christian, in the world. There's nothing more powerful in the world than love. Love is the most powerful resource in the world. There's nothing else more powerful than love. There's nothing going to change a person. There's nothing going to draw a person to the church more than love. There's nothing going to draw someone to Christ more than love. Love that is radiating out from our lives and is touching people around us. That love is radiated, that comes from God and goes back to God as the world sees that we are in love with Jesus Christ and that we have that unity that we heard about this morning, that people will take notice and will desire to be a part of that kind of a fellowship. And I challenge each of us that this is, I believe, the most lacking thing in the churches today, and possibly in our church here, that we don't have that love from God and that love floating out and drawing us and binding us together and making us a church that is powerful, a church that is influential, a church that is experiencing God when we worship Him and when we come together, that lives can be changed, that the testimony can reach out into the community. Let's have that kind of a love in our heart. Where's that love come from? I like what Romans 5:5 says. Romans 5:5, it says, let me turn to that. Can you quote that, Woodard?
The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that's exactly.
Amen. Says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's where the love of God comes from, with the Holy Ghost in our life, that the love is shed abroad in our heart, and we have the witness of His presence within us. That's what Brother Mark was talking about, how we know that we love God, how we know that we are one with God. It's that witness of the Spirit of God in our hearts that we can experience His joy and His peace and His power in our life. And we can know that we are one with God. And we can know that we are experiencing His grace in our life. This is the beautiful thing of the Christian life today. I just want to think about some of the people of God in the Bible and the evidences that we see of God working in their lives. I think about Daniel, a man who loved God. Daniel's heart was fervent after God. And whenever the law tried to tell him to get him in trouble for serving God, he was steadfast and unmovable. He was unchanged. He continued serving God just like he always did. There's nothing going to hinder him from serving God. And that's the same kind of commitment, that same kind of love that we have today. Whatever God, the world wants to press in on us, when the world wants to influence our lives, we need to have that kind of a strength and that kind of a love for God, that there's nothing going to move us, there's nothing going to take it away from us, there's nothing going to change us from continuing on serving God, there's nothing going to hinder us from being all that God wants us to be, regardless of the circumstances around us. He was obedient to God at all costs, even to the extent of being thrown in with a den of lions. But that's God in His great power manifested Himself in a great way, but in the cause of Daniel's steadfastness and faithfulness. And also we think of the life of Joseph and the testimony of Joseph's life, of his steadfastness in face of great temptation. He was victorious because of his love for God and his commitment to God. He had a grace and a power to resist great temptation, and also with the patience that he had in all the trials and the sufferings that came into his life. God power and grace was upon his life in such a way that there was no turning from God. He was steadfast and he was unmovable. He was even down there in the dungeon. He was serving God. He was loving God. I believe he was worshiping God in that dungeon just as well as he was out on the hillside. And he was worshiping God. And also that great grace of forgiveness that Joseph had, that powerful ministry of forgiveness, and that we all need to be experiencing in our lives, you know, living in the church life. We have issues come up where we rub shoulders with people, the things we all think we all have, even in our unities, we have our different personalities and so on, that we need to be forgiving. We need to be, our love for God will motivate us to be forgiving whenever people are not maybe doing things just exactly the way I would want to do it. We need to have forgiveness in order to live together and to walk together. And forgiveness is a powerful tool. Forgiveness against those that offend us in the world. The world offends us. The world does things and says things against us. We must have that forgiveness of God in our heart, which comes from God's love within us, radiating out and affecting the world around us. We also see the powerful life of our Apostle Paul. Whenever he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the power came upon his life. How that he completely abandoned everything that he had going for him. He just laid it all down. He turned around and he went the other way and poured his heart into his work of God just as much as he was working against it. This is the life of a love of God radiating out from a heart that's been changed and touched by the power of God. A complete abandonment of our own plans and our own life. This is where the power of God comes in, and the grace of God comes into our lives and fills us with courage and love. Whenever we're just willing to lay down everything that we are, everything that we have, and admit who we are, and admit that we are not anything of ourselves, but it is only by the power of God and the grace of God in our life that we're able to be anything that can bring glory and a blessing to God. Paul endured hardness for the gospel. He endured many things, much suffering, because of his love for God, his intense love for God. He would not be turned aside. He would not be hindered by any the threats of evil men and even the warnings of Christians that tried to turn him away. He had his heart set on going where God wanted him to go and doing what God wanted him to do, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of what people said. Paul was addicted to the gospel. Isn't that what we want to be this morning? Oh, that we would have a church full of people that are addicted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are addicted to serving Him and that we cannot do anything else. We only want to be following Him all the days of our life as an addiction in our life that we can't break. We just want to follow Him all the days of our life. That's the power of love. The love of God working in us and making us, motivating us and driving us to follow hard after God. Then we have the testimony even of Jesus Christ. The power and the life of Jesus Christ. The perfect example that we have of patience, of long-suffering, of meekness, of kindness and forgiveness. This is the life that God wants us to be experiencing, and it's the life that He has for the true born-again child of God, that we can be experiencing what Jesus experienced. We can experience the grace of God in our life. Just like we heard this morning, the things that God gave to Christ, Christ gave to us so that we can be one with Him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a blessing. The blessing beyond measure. The power, the grace, and the presence of God in our life. I just praise God for His wonderful work to man. This morning I want to look at a little more of what we talked about already with loving our brothers. You know, 1 John talks much about that. Whenever we have God's love in our hearts, we will love those around us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. I think I'll read some verses here. It says, "And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's more than just saying we love God, but it's a life that we live. It's a deed and in truth that we love. We love God by loving those around us. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he keepeth his commandments, dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. And hereby we know that He abide in us by the Spirit which He giveth us. That's the answer to the question that Mark asked this morning. We know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He gives us. He gives us the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit in our heart. So we cannot love God if we don't love those around us. We cannot be loving God if we have enmity and we have strife and we just have people we just can't stand. That's not God's love. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Behold, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." Verse 16 says, "God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Verse 20, it says, "He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we of him, that we loveth God. He that loveth God, love his brother also." That's very clear. I mean, that is so clear in John's writings of how that we cannot love God without loving our brothers. We cannot love God. We do not love God if we do not love our brothers. So that's my challenge to each of us this morning. I know in church life, it is so powerful whenever we have that relationship together, that we are serving one another and caring for one another and sensing our needs among us, that we have a sensitive spirit toward one another. But also, like Brother James mentioned, that we also have a love for the world around us. We have a love for the unsaved, just like Jesus did. He wasn't afraid to eat with the sinners. He wasn't afraid to spend time with the ungodly and the unsaved. He was there for them. That's what He was here for. And that's what we are here for today. We are here for the purpose of reaching out and touching lives. We are here for the purpose of making a difference in our community, in our nation, in the world, wherever we are, wherever God calls us to. God has called us to make a difference. And by loving people and by reaching out and by letting our light shine, the world will know that we love God. And when we have that love for people, the Lord will draw men unto Himself, and He will make a difference. He will make a difference in the world around us. And that's my challenge to each of us, that we have that. We have that grace in our heart to reach out and love our neighbors and love those that we come in contact with, that we can share the gospel of Jesus. That we're not afraid to open our mouth and let the praises of God reach out and touch lives. I know there's many, I'm sure we all have opportunities to share and to witness and testify every day as we go through our daily work. Let's let the love of Jesus be our motivation, and let's surrender our lives completely unto Him, that our whole purpose and our whole being and our whole desire would be to serve God, to please Him, to obey Him, to walk with Him, and to witness for Him. Do we know number 24 in Symphony of Praise? Can we sing that song?